Welcome to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors, the world's leading organization for Christian mental health care providers and advocates, with over 50,000 engaged members and students. I'm Jim Kress, and on behalf of our host, Dr. Tim Clinton, and his son, Zach, thank you for making us a part of your day. We appreciate your time and your support for what we do to help you grow better relationships and a deeper faith. We want to be your daily encouragement to help you help others for your life, your love, your faith, and your family. If you like what you hear, tell a friend, won't you? And join us on social media for more fresh content. Just go to timclinton.com to find out more. And now, let's join our host, Zach Clinton.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a division of the American Association of Christian Counselors. I'm Zach Clinton, Vice President of the AACC and co-host here at LLFF, along with my dad, Dr. Tim. Thank you for joining us today. Our topic again today is really stemming out of a powerful testimony that we heard yesterday. But today we're going to be diving into what do we do and how do we unpack the shame that maybe holds us in bondage from our past. See, a lot of us have made mistakes. A lot of us have had a past that's been riddled with pride, with pain, or with challenge, difficulty, adversity. But how do we actually move beyond those things? Our special guest returning today is a former adult film star who embarked on a life-changing journey to fill the void in his heart. Despite fame and success, he found emptiness. Battling depression and thoughts of self-harm, our guest discovered the transformative power of Jesus. Now he shares his testimony of redemption on podcasts, TV shows, and stages, spreading God's message of restoration all over the world. With a BS in Christian Ministries, our guest and his wife Hope have been married for 7 years, raising their 4 sons in Dallas, Texas. His message is centered on the fact that no matter what you have done or what has happened to you, the love of Jesus Christ stands ready to change your future. Again, our special guest today is Joshua Broom.
You know, what does it mean to be loved by the Father? What does it mean to even see a healthy dynamic between a mom and a dad? Mm. And that marked me. So I set on my own journey. You know, that's the danger of trying to create your own autonomy, because I thought, well, I can fix myself. And the way that I'm going to fix myself is achieve enough to feel enough. And that journey started when I was a kid, and it took me into I was trying to be the best student. I was trying to be the best athlete. I was trying to be the best actor, model, all these things. And then I made a decision that changed the trajectory of my life. I did one pornographic film, and it instantly blew up everything that I'd worked for up into that point in my life. And then at age 22, I believed, well, because I made this decision, it's now going to dictate every decision I make moving forward, because I had burned the bridge that I was walking down and walking towards. So there was nothing left for me to do but to continue to compromise. But I believed, okay, I did this. So this, you know, this is the bed that I've made. So I've got to lie in it. Who am I? And in the same way, I heard the gospel, believed it to be true, but I disqualified myself from it because I was like, well, you don't know me. Like, you don't know how bad I am. You don't know, I maybe this is available for everyone, but not me. And then he read, the pastor read Hebrews 12:2, and there was something about, so the thing that the Holy Spirit just like shouted in my mind in the sweetest of ways, but it was joy set before him that he endured the cross. And I was in the belief that, okay, like Jesus is perfect. So of course he was obedient to his Father, but man, joy is indicative of love.
Right.
He loves me.
Right.
It was, yes, it was love for his Father, but it was love for me.
Come on.
And then that love arrested and disarmed the brokenness in my heart, and the Holy Spirit did what only the Holy Spirit can do. And I fell to my face, and there was lots of snot and tears, and I stood up, and I was not the person that walked in that building anymore.
Wow.
And that day changed my life. I gave my life to Jesus. I made him Lord and Savior of my life. And that girl that went on that walk with me, that gave me both grace and truth, her name is Hope. She's been my wife for almost 8 years.
Come on.
We have 4 boys, And, you know, we serve a God of Ephesians 3:20 that yes. He stands ready to do exceedingly abundantly more than we could ever hope or imagine, because I wouldn't have even had the guts to dream of the life that I have today. Yeah. And then I get a phone call from Tucker Carlson, and he's like, hey, would you come on and share your story?
Wow.
And he asked me the question that I get most excited about. He's like, well, how did you go from being the most successful porn star in the United States to preaching the Bible? And I was like, have you heard of this little thing called Romans Road?
That's it.
But the answer is the gospel.
That's right.
The gospel is the answer to how do I change my life?
Yep.
As complex as it may seem, it's as simple as what Jesus says to be true. And his blood is sufficient enough for a multitude of sins. And if you give your life to him and soak in his truth, your life will change. And you know, that was my answer, and I got to share that live on Fox to 4.2 million people.
Come on.
You know, really soon after that, started speaking a lot, and for the last 3 years, stepped into that full time. So speak at you know, men's conferences on Sundays. Do all sorts of events. Created a podcast with my buddies here over at Compel Studio, and just God's done some really cool stuff.
Absolutely, and, he does.
It's like I love just to share. Like, man, I used to have this like gaping wound in my heart, and what's left is a scar. And that scar, it doesn't point to pornography or fatherlessness or illuminating any kind of sin in my life. It points to the only person that can heal, which is Jesus. And that's the thing that I love talking about most. And that's my story in a nutshell.
Joshua, man, well, first and foremost, thank you for the vulnerability and sharing your, again, powerful, impactful testimony. It's funny you brought up Colossians 4, because as I was even thinking about your story, as I'm hearing to you talk, I was thinking of Paul's words as he ends that chapter in Colossians 4:18. He says three words that I think are so powerful in my own personal life too. He says, remember my chains. And when he says, remember my chains, it's not, you're not sharing all this stuff because you want us to feel bad for you or sympathetic for you. You're sharing it because of the old Brandon Heath song, I'm not who I once was, right?
Yeah.
And being able to recognize that because of only, like you said, the blood of the Lamb, only because of the goodness and the grace of God, can you now step into a new calling and a new purpose. And God is the great restorer, redemptive power, but also he's a repurposer. He takes pain and turns it into something meaningful. For you, Joshua, there's a lot of people that may be listening today and watching that, you know what, they live in their sin. They're walking in sin. Like you said, maybe you were walking in sin in more of a public appearance, you could say. But people are walking in sin privately every single day. And like dogs running back to our own vomit, sometimes when we dabble in darkness, Joshua, we get stuck and caught in these destructive patterns, and we don't know how to break free of this cyclical cycle that we find ourselves in. What is just a word of guidance, a word of encouragement that you'd give somebody who is continuing to walk in that sin, and maybe it's because of the shame that we continually experience?
Yeah, I mean, you look at that interaction in the garden where Satan was, you know, talking to Adam and Eve, and it wasn't a clear defiance of God's word. It was, if I can get you to question what God said to be true, then there's this disbelief that I can create my own autonomy. I can know what's best for me. And then you see, you know, sin enters the picture, and then where there's sin, there's shame, and where there's shame, there's hiding. And in isolation, you know, the father of lies is the one that's speaking loudest to you, and you're stuck in this cycle because you feel truly, I am my shame, because shame has a lot to do with identity.
Yes.
You know, and why guilt is like, okay, this is something I've done,
right.
While shame is, this is who I am.
Yep.
And I would say to the person stuck, well, number one, because of what Jesus has done, you don't have to stay stuck there.
Amen.
And the thing that feels most unnatural is the thing that you need to do, which is to tell someone. Something I say often is that you're only as free as you're willing to be honest. And the power of truth is that the thing that seems unmentionable to you, once you say it, you actually set yourself free in some capacity because that shame loses its power over you. Because for so long, my story held me captive in a lot of ways, but you have this choice whether you own your story or it owns you. But if you put your story at the foot of the cross, then it's paid for. Then all of a sudden your story changes. So just knowing like, hey, practically, what does it look like to eradicate this habitual behavior from my life? I need to tell someone. And then also I have to understand, man, I need to take inventory of my life. You know, I need to check myself before I wreck myself. You know, I need to like, okay, what am I allowing into my life? What am I listening to? What am I watching? And I need to know, like, if I'm struggling with pornography, like the pornography, this behavior is a byproduct of a root that's attached to sin. There's a lack or a trauma that's unaddressed, and the Band-Aid that I put on the feelings that I don't want to process out loud, that I don't want to confess, I put a Band-Aid called pornography on top of that, and that dopamine hit that I feel allows me to not deal with what is actually the problem. So that's the beauty of having that conversation. Like, hey, this is something I struggle with. And if you look at the data, you know, the pornography makes more money than the NBA, NFL, Major League Baseball all combined. 33% of the data transferred on the internet on a daily basis is pornography. 84% of guys 18 to 24 have admitted to watching pornography at least once a month. 67% of women 18 to 24 admitted to watching at least once a month. So it's incredibly problematic. But I say all those things to say, hey, you're not alone.
Yes. Yes.
You're not alone. So say the thing you don't want to say and process that out loud with someone, and then take, you know, preventative measures to say, I don't want to manage my behavior. I want to address my heart. But the practicality of that is, what is it that I'm tripping over that leads me to falling? Because maybe it's Instagram. Maybe it's my friend group. Maybe it's a lack of a mentor. Maybe what's even more true in today's culture is, you know, we're the most connected generation in the history of time, while simultaneously being the most disconnected generation in the history of time. So do I actually have friends in my life? Yeah. Because like consuming pornography, it causes you to objectify people in a way that leaves you unable to be a friend or have a friend because you're managing your perception. And if you feel ashamed, you're probably not going to allow anyone into your life. So the friend that you're being to them, it isn't actually you. It's a representation of you so that you are perceived as if you're someone who receives affirmation.
Yes.
And then just like the byproduct of all those things is you're alone. While you might have millions of friends on social media, you're alone. And when you are alone, there is an enemy that wants to destroy you.
Yes.
That's why like the beauty of the Word of God, it's a gate and a weapon. It prevents us from Satan's attacks, and it equips us to move forward in this world that Jesus talks about there being tribulation in this world as a follower of Jesus. So I would just say, man, there's hope. There's hope, but it's going to cost you something. In the same way that Jesus laid down his life for you, you are called. A reasonable response is for you to lay down your life for him. And what that looks like is to be honest, to be committed to being in community, and man, protect yourself from the schemes of the enemy, because the enemy is trying to destroy you.
Yes.
So man, like, guard your eyes, guard your heart, and let people into your life, because that's what the church is meant to be. It's not a building, it's a people.
Come on.
And that connectivity in person, and you know, the wounds of a friend, like Proverbs 27:3 talks about, like, we need that. Like,
that's
you need to be called out and called up, and you need someone to watch your back. You need that so that you can live a life that is meaningful, so you can step into the purpose and plan that's beautiful for your life, so that you can experience the joy that's on the other side of obedience. Because man, I love Titus 2, where it talks about, man, the fruit of saying no to ungodliness is the ability to desire righteousness.
Come on.
And when you get to a place where you can desire righteousness and you can be satisfied and satiated by God, with God, yes, all of a sudden the thing that you used to struggle with, it doesn't look as good anymore.
Yes.
So you're more equipped to say no to the thing you don't want to do and say yes to the thing that you're called to.
Man, dude, you're just preaching right now. I love it, Joshua, because that word that you just mentioned, if someone feels stuck in their sin, stuck in their shame, there is hope, but it's going to come with a cost. And like you said, it's going to take effort. It's going to take people fuel. It's going to take accountability. It's going to take responsibility. It's going to take sacrifice and suffering and all these necessary ingredients. But there is hope on the other side of those things. What I want to end with, Joshua, is one of my favorite lies that you touch on in your book is counterfeit cleanup. And I think there's a lot of people watching and listening today who may be living lives that are entrapped by their past, by their mistakes, maybe poor decisions in the past, and they're struggling with how do they let these things go. I saw in your book, and even what you mentioned, that maybe you lived once with the label of Rocco Reed, but now how do you step into that identity of being restored and redeemed, right? Two very different lifestyles. To the person out there, just a final word of hope, encouragement and motivation for them about how they can truly find their identity fully and solely rooted and anchored in Christ and in Christ alone.
Yeah, I mean, I'll say if you understand who Jesus is, you can understand who you are. And, you know, in the same way, Mark 14:62, you're seeing like Jesus answer the question, you know, are you the King of the Jews? Like, who are you? He's like, well, I am. I am the I am from Exodus. I am the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven from Daniel 7. Like, I am who you think I am. And he was crucified for that because that's what he came to do. So if you understand who Jesus is, you see, I love Mark 2 and Mark 5 where, you know, the paralytic man saved by the faith of his friends, but Jesus looks at him and says, son, you are forgiven. And then Mark 5, the woman who was struggling with, you know, years of bleeding, and she thought, well, if I just get close enough to Jesus, if I just touch the garment of Jesus, then I would be healed. And she does, and she is, and Jesus looks at her and says, daughter, because of your faith, you're healed. And you, if you understand that not only are you now alive when you were once dead, like the 2 Corinthians 5:17 talks about, you're this new creation. The old is gone and you're a new creation, but keep reading because you're saved. You're saved from something and you're saved for something. You're now an ambassador for Christ. You're a carrier of this word of reconciliation. And what's so important is if you understand sonship, if you understand that your identity is birthed out of, you are adopted into the family of God, and you are signed, sealed, and delivered because of the blood of Christ, this is now who you are. You are now inheriting a royal priesthood. You have access to the Father's house. You are not who you used to be. And if that is the most truest thing about you, and you believe that, it changes everything. Because for me to become a man of God, for me to become a godly husband, a godly father, I had to learn to become a son. And when I understood that the father that I'd wanted my whole life, he was with me even in the worst of my transgressions, you know, while we were enemies of God, Jesus went to the cross and died on my behalf, not because I deserved it, because he loved me. And if you understand how loved you are, and if you understand who you are in Christ, it changes everything because you truly are not who you used to be. And I'll just share this one thing. This is why community is so important, because my wife and I, when we were going through premarital counseling, we were talking about the five love languages. And her highest love language was quality time. And I thought at the time that meant, you know, a quality dinner, a quality experience. And the way that we're wired as human beings is, you know, we there's these mirror neurons, right? That we replicate how we receive love, and we try to love people in that way. But love is nuanced. It's individualistic. And it, sometimes when we try to love people the way that we receive love, we're actually being somewhat selfish. And to get to that agape love, you've got to understand and contextualize your love through the lens of who this person is to you in that instance. And for her, her saying that the greatest present that I could give to her was my presence was challenging.
Yeah.
Because I didn't think I was worth anything. Mm. And for her to look at me and say, the greatest thing that you can give me is you.
Mm.
Because you matter. You have value and you are valuable to me. It gave me a picture of seeing how she saw love through the lens of the Father, and allowed me to feel loved by her, and it broke things off of me, and it changed me. So that's why community is so important, and equally important is confession, because later on in my life, I realized that I had been blaming my Father for the way that my life had been in the past, and I had this unforgiveness, you know, that in my life where, you know, I needed another level of consecration, and where there's consecration, there's a growing intimacy with God. And for me, I had to get to the place where I had to stop saying, well, if you would have been there, things would be different. And I was actually withholding that forgiveness from him because I didn't know if reconciliation would meet my expectations.
Mm.
So I thought, well, if I forgive you and nothing changes, then you don't get what, you know, you need, and I don't get what I need. But I had to realize that I'm not God.
Right. Right.
And that was, both of those moments were such a gift for me because they allowed me to be loved by God more, which healed and transformed me further.
Man. To every viewer, to every listener out there, if you don't hear anything else, hear those words from Joshua. You are seen. You are pursued, you are chosen, you are heard, you are loved. Today and every day, it doesn't matter your past, doesn't matter your mistakes, doesn't matter what you've been through, what you're going through. I remember Isaiah 43:2, when you pass through the waters, he will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. Joshua Broom, my friend, again, thank you just for your time, for your willingness to join us for this conversation today. Thank you for just living out what it truly looks like to pursue God recklessly and to allow his transformative power to redeem your life and your past. My friend, you are a blessing to each and every one of us. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you so much, brother.
I tell you what, you guys, if you didn't hear anything else today, my prayer is that you would have heard Joshua's last cry out for us to listen to, which is being able to recognize that you are seen, that you are heard, that you are pursued, that you are chosen, and that you are loved. I know you may have gone through some tough storms, some difficult weather in life, but I want to remind you of the words of Isaiah 43:2, which says, when we pass through the waters, he will be with us. When we pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over us. When we walk through the fire, we will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. My friends, Joshua, I just wanted to thank you again, my friend, just for joining us again, for your authenticity, for your vulnerability, for all the incredible things that God is doing in and through your heart. All of us here at Life, Love, Faith, and Family, we're rooting for you and we're praying for you every step of the way. And to all of our listeners, we come to you each week right here to bring you a word of hope and encouragement and to help strengthen your life, love, and relationships with God and those close to you. Please know that God loves you and he is always there. You've been listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family with Dr. Tim and Zach Clinton. We love being a part of your life. For more information, visit timclinton.com. Again, thank you so much for listening.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors, the world's leading organization for Christian mental health care providers and advocates, with over 50,000 engaged members and students. On behalf of our hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, we pray God's richest blessing on you and your family. Be sure to join us again next time, and don't forget to go to timclinton.com to contact us, tell us how we're doing, and maybe ask a question or two, or simply for more information on our resources and upcoming events. I'm Jim Kress. Thanks again for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family.
Do people ever come to you asking for help? Maybe hope? How about prayer? Do you ever wish you understood the issues better that people are wrestling with? Or how about how to use the Bible more effectively in caring for people? If so, I'd love to get a copy of our Care and Counsel Bible in your hands, featuring 116 topics written by some of the world's best mental health and ministry experts. I think you'll love it. Topics like discouragement, abuse, depression, divorce, anxiety, abortion, and more. So you can learn more about these issues and how to use the Bible more effectively, how to share passages of Scripture with others, maybe even yourself, as you're sitting down over a cup of coffee. You know what I love most about this Bible is that it's so easy to use. You can find right up front an index with subjects, key passages of Scripture, personality profiles, and so much more to go to. So you can use the Bible more effectively in caring for other people. The Care and Counsel Bible right now is retailing for $85. We're going to make it available to you for just $49.99 plus shipping. I think you're going to love it. Hey, for more information about how you can get this Bible right now, go to careandcounsel.com. That's careandcounsel.com.